I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Why am I the only one dancing? Huh? Huh? Nothing? All right.
Sorry.
At least Joe's bobbing his head. Chris has actually turned his chair around, so he can't see us at all anymore. Hey, guys. How are you? Welcome into the bar. We're the Barroom Heroes. You are a hero as well for being at the bar with us. So thanks for listening. Tell all your friends about the show if you like it. Now, my name is Kevin Elliott, and it still will be by the end of the show.
Hopefully. Hopefully you don't. Nothing goes wrong there. But I'm Chris Santeni, in case you were curious.
You goddamn right you are. You goddamn right. Stat Guy Joe is here.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up, Joey? Ooh, God, I love the Beach Boys. It makes me feel so good. Listen to them. Growing up, I was like 10, 11.
Yeah.
Ooh. I think it might have been before that, maybe third grade. Beach Boys, I'll just put the tape.
Heavy Beach Boys face.
Front and back, dude. Big time Beach Boys face.
Who did?
I wore my OP shorts. I didn't care. They were from first grade, but I stretched in them. You know, one side pant leg was yellow. The other was blue. Had surfer dudes all over it. Rock Jimmy Z. I don't care. No fear.
No, no fear, Stussy.
What was it? What did I? Jimmy Z, Stussy. What was another? There was like a third or fourth.
Billabong.
Yes. Billabong. Yeah, an OP. All right.
An OP. I forgot about OP.
Guys, on your phones or on your iPads or iPods or tablets, download the SeatGeek app. Do yourself a favor. If you need tickets to any sporting event, concert, a few other stuff that's weird and offbeat, but if they sell tickets, you can get them online. It's going to be on SeatGeek.
For sure.
So get that SeatGeek app. Hit that promo code and type in Punch Drunk. Get $20 off your first purchase. $20 off your first purchase.
Dude, you can go to games almost for free.
Listen, I'm going to let you guys in on a little something.
Is it that Rick Astley is going for only $99 at the Marquee Theater? And that is not being Rickrolled. That is the truth. Thank you, SeatGeek.
What did he say?
Nice. Never going to give you up. Remember when you would click on links and be like, new info about Star Wars, and you click it, it'll just be that guy singing at you.
All right.
Be like, you got Rick Rolled. That, he's a millionaire probably off just that.
Oh, he's got to be. I don't know a ton about music. Some people say something like, who? But I do know the Beach Boys. And also, we were talking about, this is what I'm going to let you in on. Chris and I were talking about maybe hitting up a basketball game coming up.
For sure.
He's an ASU guy. I'm a UCLA guy. And something that we hold very near and dear to our hearts, if you've listened to the show from the very beginning, back in the glory days phase, we are massive women's basketball fans.
Absolutely.
And we said, yo, UCLA at ASU, February 26th, noon.
Noon. Marquee game.
I'm sure it'll be nationally televised. There's no reason why it won't be.
If not, I'll live stream it to Facebook.
So we were talking about going. We started looking at tickets, and they actually were a lot more expensive than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
Because ASU men don't sell out the stadium.
No.
ASU women, I've seen a game on TV. You can you can name everyone that's in the stadium. Even if you don't know them, you're like, you're probably Larry and Marilyn. That's you two are together, and they're like, yeah, that's exactly right. We came to all the games this season.
Thanks
our daughter
noticing.
Is number 38. She didn't even start playing basketball on the team. She was just here with us at a game, and they said, you know what? We could really use her length. And she was like, well, she's 5'5", and they're like, yeah, we need the length. And she played, and now she has a full-ride scholarship to Arizona State University, number 38.
I hope to God there's a number 38 at the game, and I'm going to ask her. That exact
story. Tell me your story about how you made the team.
My co-host Kevin tells me that you don't even play basketball when you first came here.
If she's there, we'll get her on the podcast.
I'm dead serious. I'm going to.
Okay. But the tickets are a little more expensive than I thought they would be because of not many people going to them. And we were looking and we're like, well, decent seats are like $25 a ticket.
Yeah.
And so then we were like, wait, dude, let's SeatGeek it. $5 a ticket. Boom. Now those seats don't look so bad, do they? Maybe we'll upgrade. Maybe we'll go courtside for $30.
Never know.
You never know. So, guys, do that. Download the SeatGeek app, type in the promo code PUNCHDRUNK, and get $20 off your first purchase. Also, get ready to check out Punch Drunk Sports, the website, punchdrunksports.com, and see what's going on out there. The new website hasn't rolled out yet, but we will have more information as it comes to us, so we'll let you know. But that's the website.
Also, I just thought of this. Come to the game with us.
Fuck yeah.
Why
not? Thanks, guys. I've been waiting for you to invite me. I bet you're just listening to it.
Hold on.
Cool. I'm going.
I'd normally feel really bad, but what did I tell you last night?
Last night or the other night?
About the tickets.
Oh, yeah. He said we got to get you a ticket.
I did. I said, well, let's see. Braden will want to go, so I'll get a ticket for him, and then we'll have to get one for Joe. And that's how he ended it. He said, well, now the tickets are up to $100, so I don't think we want to go. Actually, I have to make sure that that's not playoff day for my son's football team. That's the only thing we have. But
honestly, dude, what's more important?
You know what? You're right. UCLA women's basketball.
Always. But for real, let us know. Buy tickets and go to the game.
Let's make a big thing about it. Let's go. Sunday at noon? Who's doing anything else Sunday at noon?
This is what I've been trying to say. Like, come hang out with the Barroom Heroes and watch a women's college basketball
game. We'll
tell
you where our tickets are. And you can come and say hello. However, we'll be lying just in case there's like some creeps that come with guns. And they're like, oh, I hate this
show. Dude, if you come with a gun to a women's basketball game,
you're the coach.
Also, like, as far as mass shooters and terrorists,
you could find a better location.
Can you imagine a guy walking in and be like, are you kidding?
He's probably like, I'm a rookie, dude. It's my first one. Let me see what I can do here.
I feel so bad for
you. How many people did you say are inside? 60? And does that include all the workers and players? Yeah? Okay. 60. That seems like a good first go for me. Let me give it a shot and show what I'm made of. It's like an initiation for a gang.
He walks in and they're so scattered. He's like, I don't even want to mass shoot this place.
I can't have this on my resume. Yeah, you remember the Arizona State shooting?
I'm going to go find a bus or something.
When did it happen? Where?
Doesn't even make the news.
This is so mean, dude. I'm excited to go to a women's basketball
game. This episode,
game.
First of all, is going
to
get pulled because we're talking about shootings at a specific place, which is ridiculous. And that we're going. It's like the perfect plan.
Yeah, this was immediately dumb.
Mm-hmm. That fact is true.
I retract everything.
No, but seriously.
We are going to the game to actually enjoy the game. Like,
all
we're
jokes.
Watch the game.
All joking, which we were joking, all of that aside. Yeah.
I hate that we have to do this.
For real, come hang out with us at the game, and we will peacefully enjoy the basketball game.
We'll have a blast. If we get enough people, we'll tailgate. Like, we'll just have an absolute blast with it. Dude,
I'm not kidding.
We will party.
We will.
Yeah.
Let us know.
And I'm not kidding. If it's awesome, I'm talking about season tickets next year, fellas.
You guys go.
It's only an extra $5.95 at checkout.
I was going to say, everyone's found a $5 bill on the ground before. God, I'm sorry.
For all you Barroom Heroes fans, you'll be sure to see us, and you'll be easy to spot because we'll be the only guys in the parking lot drinking.
For real, though. For real, we will be in the parking lot. So come find us. Let's go to the game. I'm serious.
I'm
dead serious. I'm excited about the women's basketball game. It's going to be peaceful and fun, and we're going to enjoy the game and tailgate beforehand.
Yeah.
So all that other stuff, ignore it and just come to the game. All
right.
And hit us up on the Facebook page and tell us you're coming.
Yes.
So we kind of know how many people we're looking out for.
How do they find us quick on the Facebook page?
At Heroes at the Bar. Or you could just, follow us.
Yeah, facebook.com/heroesatthebar. Take you right to it. Now, exciting news for none of us. But for all things comedy, one of the head owners
Yeah.
The guy that makes it all happen and kind of happened for us too.
Absolutely.
Bill Burr, one of the greatest comedians to ever live. New special comes out January 31st on Netflix. I'm super stoked. He's my favorite
dude.
Guy. I laugh. He's the funniest guy ever.
Just watch it. There's no way it's not hilarious from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I just...
All his specials are. Like, if it's not, I'll be shocked. There's no way.
I literally I got the thing that was like January 31st, and I was like, what day is it?
Yeah,
like,
I did the same thing.
Like, I have to wait how many? Oh,
then
my
I looked,
God.
And
12
days?
I'm
like, oh, it's a Tuesday? All right, what can I block out on that Tuesday to just watch it twice? Like, dude, what can I do?
I was like, I gotta work on Tuesday, maybe. Just kidding. I'm not going.
I had heard, I don't know if this is true or not, I'm sure Bill wouldn't. We wouldn't want us talking about this, anyways. But I think it's weird how comedians at like the low level you spend more money than you make. You lose money,
right?
The first few years you do stand up. Then when you start breaking even, it's like a big deal because you can afford to finally live somewhere now for a minute. So comedians don't make a lot, but then there's this jump.
Yeah.
To comedians that make millions of dollars a year just doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And I heard Bill's number.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't want to.
What he makes per theater show. I was like, oh, now we can ask Bill for more money.
Like, Bill, we need a budget. Yeah, I don't want to air his business, you know what I mean? Because that's weird, but... Mm. But
well, it makes me look at the network and be like, that's why like you can afford to just do this.
Yeah, I'm just happy for the guy. I want to make that much money.
Yeah. But man, the thing that kind of makes me weird is like you see Gabriel Iglesias,
mm-hmm.
who's a massive comic and a funny guy, but he's kind of a niche. Like he's a Latino-based audience. But when he goes and he'll do a theater or a casino or something, makes a boatload of cash.
Yeah.
Ralphie makes like over $1 million a year on stand-up alone.
Well, I mean, that's tight though. Good for them.
They're not Jerry Seinfeld make $1 million a show big.
Again, you know, without airing out his business, good for him.
I think he aired that out.
Well, okay, well then fine. But I just hate to be that guy who's like, did you know he makes this?
Like Vegas was like, we'll pay you this. He's like, no, give me $1 million a show and I'll do it.
It's like those people, like no one wants that person at work who's like, wait, how much money do you make? And they go down and then they cause a problem. So nobody wants that person. So let's just say they all make good money and we're very happy for them.
That Netflix money though. I think
Netflix money is where it's at.
What do you mean? Because I don't
Netflix
know
Netflix specials.
I don't know what they get paid for that. Like I don't understand the pay scale and if you get paid on replays. Like, do you know what it is?
I think they probably just. If my guess would be, they just pay you up front and then.
Yeah,
but they can keep track of how many plays it gets.
But it's before plays.
Okay,
and they've really gone hard at this. They've got Bill's special coming up. They have Amy Schumer.
She has one on Netflix.
She has one coming up.
Coming up.
Wow. That she made quite a bit of money for.
Okay.
But as much as Bill makes, net worth, I don't know. I didn't Google it. But let's just assume it's around whatever number Kevin is holding up right now.
$4 million.
Around there.
He's worth that's $4 million? Guess. Hell yeah.
No, this is
that's your guess.
Annual net worth. So okay. He's making that
annual.
For you. But from what I'm looking at, Chris Rock just recently signed to do two specials for Netflix at $40 million, giving it $20 million a special. And then Jerry Seinfeld, who I have heard is very competitive in this field, and one of the heavier
someday groups. He'll probably do well.
Yeah. And who also...
Kid's got a bright future.
From what I've heard...
Yeah, he's promising.
From what I've heard, he's a competitive dude. He... likes being the big hitter on the block. And even when he's not in the limelight, he likes to be able to
flex a little bit,
command that limelight back to him whenever he wants. So
God,
right
that's
after
so tight. I
right
love
after
that.
The $40 million drops for Chris Rock, Netflix's Ted Sarandos, who is their chief content officer and killing it real hard. He called Chris Rock comedy royalty and paid him $40 million, and then turned around and paid Seinfeld $100 million for a multifaceted deal, which probably could be a comedy special, maybe like car comedy.
Pitches he has.
Comics and cars.
I read that.
Coffee.
They said they're bringing that Comedians in Cars thing to Netflix.
That'll be huge for Netflix.
Yeah, and then he's probably going to do more stuff. I read tidbits of that.
Netflix is so smart right now. They just, man.
Again, if you want to tip your hat to somebody, his name is Ted Sarandos. And
you know
he happens to be Killian. I don't know this
No,
man.
I see that guy's name on everything, dude. He keeps saying like, hey, take a risk. Let's sign some big people. Let's spend a little money to build the platform. Yeah. It seems to be his vibe. And it seems to be working.
And he
he seems to be paying people that are worth it.
From what I've read, he is really pushing into kind of every genre in every area. So that, like, if you're a family at home, you have Fuller House and Lemony Snicket. But if you're us, you have Comics and Cars Getting Coffee and Chris Rock. So,
yeah. Wow. I heard that Chris Rock, well, this is public knowledge, is getting divorced. But since it's in California, she's literally taking like half of everything. So not that he's going to be hurting for money, but he went from having like a lot of money. It's still a lot of money.
It's going to give him such killer material.
But yes,
that he's going to make that money back tenfold.
That's why he's going on tour. To make the money. He needs to make more money to get back up to where he was. So during this divorce thing, he's going back on the road and on tour and making all this money. But dude,
if you lose half your money in any scenario,
that's what I'm trying to say.
You're gonna have material about it.
Well, yeah, but it's still also like a.
I do a story about when all I had was $20 to my name and I lost 10 of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I do a bit about that.
And Chris Rock has that bit about where he had 20 million and he lost 10 of it
on one roll at the craps table. it's an exciting year for comedy, man. We got a lot of stuff going on and around us and in the industry. So that's cool. Keep your eyes open.
It's going to be a great year.
It will be a great year. And come see us when we're out. And if you got a spot where you live and want us to come out and tell a lot of jokes for a little bit of time. Just kidding. That came out
bad. I'll tell about 4 jokes in my time because they're story
and
based.
And 30 minutes later, Joe will come up. Tell 150 jokes.
I do a great bit about how I had $20 and I lost 10.
yeah, we'll do a full-on show, man. It's not some whatever show, and we'll get locals involved too. So if you're a local comic and you want us to come in, let's do it, man. You let us know a spot, we'll make it happen. And yeah, just write in the Facebook page and let us know. What?
The beginning of this episode has literally been like, hey guys, here's everyone's personal business. Also, hire us because we're dope. So,
hang out with us at basketball games. Come hire us for shows. All right, let's get into sports then. You want to get into sports?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. What do we got first? Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers take on the New England Patriots and Tom Brady.
Subbing in for Kevin is a 60-year-old aunt.
I hope that Le'Veon Bell wore his sweater. It's chilly today.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. Are you going to talk shit? Because the way you spelled Le'Veon on the board is literally...
I thought you said labia. I'm sorry.
It's phonetically incorrect, let alone just incorrect. Part of it looks like lava and the other looks like Avenue. It looks like a lava, like you're writing down somebody's street address. Oh, just turn on Lava Avenue and Bell Road.
Ring the bell.
Yeah, don't ring the bell.
Lava Ave, then the bell.
This fucking asshole wants to make fun of me. Well, anyways, we're back to Le'Veon Bell. I do. I sound like the woman in Something About Mary that smokes and tans all the time.
You also sound like the... Lady Monster from Monsters, Inc. who's like, I'm watching you.
I'm wearing a Le'Veon Bell.
Come on, Joey. You can't do Pixar and then the Le'Veon Bell. Come on, man.
Who do you got? Pittsburgh, New England. Who do you got?
New England.
I got New England, too. Let me ask you this. Last week, they talked a lot about Le'Veon Bell and his running style. Because his running style is very different than any other running back in the NFL.
Okay.
He gets the handoff. And then he kind of walks towards the line, looks for the hole, and then hits the hole fast.
Right.
And he's had an incredible start to his career.
For sure.
He would have led the league in rushing if he played three games, whatever he had missed. But he was saying, the dude is insanely good.
Right.
And he's killing it these playoffs. My question to you is, if he wasn't on the Steelers and he wasn't on the Cowboys, I point them out because of their offensive lines, would he be as good of a running back, or would he put up the same type of numbers? Because that stutter that he does on the way to the line, you have to have an amazing offensive line in order to do well.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're getting hit in the backfield every time.
Right.
As guys who don't stutter and run full speed to the line lose yards.
Mm-hmm.
So is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Will he start to fail if the line goes, or he gets signed when he's a free agent to some shit line, whatever?
I think it will. I think that will definitely affect his game. I mean, if you can't get a line that will give you a hole to walk to, you're in big trouble. And if you're not moving, you're getting laid out. Because if he has a line where he's not able to, you know, where there's not making holes and they're not making a specific spot for him, what's he going to do? I mean, if he's not already moving his feet, how's he going to break a tackle? How's he going to push through?
So the Rams have a terrible offensive line, and Todd Gurley is one of the worst football players I've ever seen in my entire life. Blocks me on Twitter.
Absolutely. That's the only thing he blocks.
David Johnson on the Cardinals doesn't have a good line either.
No.
It's historically the Cardinals have had a horrible offensive line.
Yeah, somebody should figure that out after like 20 years.
And they still don't have a good one. But David Johnson leads the league in yards from scrimmage. A lot of that is receiving.
Yeah.
It was like 800 yards receiving, 1,200 yards rushing. But he got to 1,200 yards with a bad line. So that tells me that this guy, and I wasn't a believer in him like everybody else was. They're mm-hmm. always one of the greatest players ever.
I was very skeptical.
But obviously a line makes a difference.
For sure.
But if you switch Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson teams,
uh-huh.
I think David Johnson leads the league in rushing.
Probably.
I think Le'Veon Bell leads all running backs in receptions and finishes with like 1,000 yards, which isn't hard to do in the NFL if you start every game. And he didn't. So 3 games missing, I'm safe to say he'd get like 1,000. Not the whatever he was on pace for if he played the whole season,
right,
which is 1,800, whatever the hell it was.
I don't know. I mean, I see that point. I see what you're saying there. But I also wonder if the type of offense that the teams run contributes to that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cardinals aren't exactly a running team. The Steelers are.
Right. But I think that's why he can, with a bad line, get away with it. Because teams still have to worry about a lot of pass plays, that's and true. Then he kind of sneak in a little bit.
There's so many variables.
Of course there are. But God, a good offensive line solves all of the variables.
That's true.
So I think you're right. I think anybody playing for Dallas's offensive line or Pittsburgh's offensive line really should be having a huge year.
Adrian Peterson crushes it in Minnesota, and their line isn't that great.
Any of the guys that we've talked about, I'm not going to pick names because they all would. They would all have huge years playing for those lines.
That's true. I mean, the white running back in Detroit, Zummer, whatever his name is, the great white hope
Zoomer.
In football. Yeah. He, everybody's like, yo, he's the best white running back I've ever seen. He on a good offensive line would crush it. You don't think so?
He would. Right. I mean, anybody would. He'd have better numbers, but he doesn't have, I don't think he's as good of a running back on his own as those other guys.
But I'm saying, he'd have Pittsburgh line.
He'd have much better numbers, but he would not have the numbers these guys have.
True. How about this guy's changing gears? Mayweather McGregor, do you honestly think it'll happen? Oh, we never picked Falcons and Packers, but I don't care about
Packers.
Yeah,
it's just
the Falcons won.
It would. I'm not. I have no dog in that fight.
The thing I don't for that.
Like
at all.
Here's the thing: as a Bears fan, I'm supposed to be all against the Packers, but I mean, let's be real: the Bears weren't even competitive. So I just want it to be a good game. But I really do think the Packers are just on a roll. I don't think they're really.
A lot of times the wild card team goes to the Super Bowl because they're playing the best.
Yeah.
They're on that bigger streak. They've won 2 in a row
because you have to get in. You have to get hot to get in.
Yeah. So you'll see that a lot. And 2 of them could make it. Pittsburgh and Green Bay would have both made it.
I think the Super Bowl is going to be Green Bay and
New England.
I mean, which makes it a really fun and really watchable Super Bowl.
You wouldn't think Falcons, Patriots? Or Falcons, Pittsburgh?
none of those combinations are as watchable and exciting
as Green Bay, New England.
As Green Bay, because this history and the two quarterback personalities. The one quarterback is cool with everyone. The one quarterback won't even talk to his parents. They both have famous girlfriends or wife, right? Tom Brady's married, isn't
Brady's
he?
Brady's married. Rogers is
Rogers is pretty much married because he's like, he's, it's like Scientology with that guy. He's cutting out his family. He won't talk to anyone, dude. Come on, Aaron. I wish nothing bad on you, but you're letting a girl get in the way, man.
So Mayweather and McGregor.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think the fight will ever happen.
I doubt it will ever happen. The only way it could happen, I was thinking about this the other day. Some guy brought this up online, and I was going to like dive in and just try to argue with him, but felt like not doing that because boxing fans are probably psycho. And he was saying, like, you can't even get that sanctioned, basically. I mean, it would have to be an exhibition. And then at what point, what is that worth? Mayweather's not going to come out of retirement for an exhibition.
He would, just for the money.
No, dude, because he would want to. I'm telling you, of course he'll take the money, but he also wants the 50-0.
Yeah.
So
if he could make it McGregor,
right?
Oh, he totally wants that. But McGregor
is also apparently saying like he wants a huge chunk of the purse, which is not unfair. But
not unfair, but okay.
But so, personality
but
wise.
But he wants $25 million of that $50 million purse.
McGregor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Floyd came out on Twitter and said, you have the 2 and the 5 right. I think you meant 2.5 million.
Well, did you see what he did? Because he showed, he put his net worth and Conor McGregor's net worth and put them together.
Yeah.
And it said McGregor, 2.5 million. Floyd Mayweather, 650 million. But then it was like, but they didn't add 2 of McGregor's fights. I'm like, all right, bump it up to
here's
5. He's still $645 million
but
short of Mayweather.
This is why I have a problem with it. What do you care? It's an exhibition. What they should do, because you're not going to get a sanctioned fight out of it. So what they need to do is just exhibition it, split the money down the middle, split the percentages down the middle, and just make a bunch of money.
But Mayweather's ego won't let him do that.
And it also can't really happen because it's like, okay, McGregor's never boxed.
An exhibition can happen. Chris Brown and Soulja Boy are fighting in the ring.
I know they are. Mike Tyson made that killer diss song. I definitely was into it. But I just don't see it happening. If the fight happens, I will watch it.
Chris is right. This will never actually happen. Not because the money's not there, not because the interest isn't there, but because Floyd Mayweather is a big old pussy. And
I don't agree.
He runs
that.
And runs and runs.
No, he
and
doesn't.
He's a big pussy.
I'm not a fan.
No, he
he's,
doesn't.
He's not going to fight. He's a pussy.
He ran from Pacquiao. Who else did he run from?
Look, he's always
he
been.
Didn't. He fought Canelo Alvarez.
He's got
he
a lot of he's got a lot of bravado. He's got a lot of persona. The
he's
man
49-0.
The man because he fights people that he knows he doesn't really.
I'll throw
have
this
to fight.
Out there. I'll throw this out. There.
He's fought everyone.
But I'm okay. But I'm gonna throw this out there. This is my argument to the he's fought everyone thing. He fought everyone 7 years after their prime.
But he did it to Pacquiao.
Look.
But Pacquiao jerked on that one too.
Pacquiao was that was a stupid fight. I didn't even watch it. I knew it was going to be
right. If it had happened 5 years before,
if it had happened,
everyone would have watched it.
It would have been the best thing in the world.
But it wasn't all Mayweather that wouldn't make it work. Pacquiao
no,
of course,
no,
work.
It was Mayweather.
No,
Mayweather ran
wasn't.
For 5 years.
No, it wasn't.
Look, he ran for 5 years.
I'm not blaming Floyd Mayweather's. Okay, this is how I feel about it, and I could be wrong, and I'll accept being wrong. But the way I see it is Floyd Mayweather, early in his career and kind of in his prime, he's obviously full of technique for days. No one's arguing that. He's an athlete beyond comprehension. But he's always kind of been a technical points fighter, right? Which, personally, I don't like at all, so that's my bias. I want people trying to knock each other into the moon. You know what I mean? But I think as his career went on and he started realizing, I can cash in. It's hard to blame him for cashing in, but I don't think they were fights.
Was Oscar De La Hoya?
They were just spectacles.
Was Oscar De La Hoya a bad influence on him?
Maybe.
Show him the ropes of making money off of fights and whatever.
To
show him
how easily he could run away from stuff.
Look, I don't.
He didn't
like
run
his,
from most fights. No.
No, like I said, early in his career, there's no running. And then the prime of his career, it's not running. It's just a very – he's very aware of the ring, and he knows what he's doing.
Strategic plotting. He just knows like what he's doing. Just like when he avoided fighting Pacquiao forever.
Okay, hold on. Strategic planning, does that go in?
I didn't say strategic planning. I said strategic plotting.
All right.
Where it's like, I'm going to sit here for like 2 years and then move on to another place where I'm just going to sit. Or I'm going to find a way in the ring to avoid this guy for as long as I can and hit him in his hip a bunch of times so that I can get scores.
That's again, what Chris was talking about.
The strategic fighting thing to me looks like a baby girl running away from a big boy.
What I'm saying is it's hard. It's like we always talk about with baseball or basketball. When we talk about basketball now versus basketball in the 90s, it's hard for me to blame Mayweather for excelling with the rules he was given.
Okay. And also,
Go ahead, get your thing out.
The dodging and running thing, whatever. But I don't love it either. I wish when it was prime fight, let's get it going and fight because I'm a fan. All right, I want to watch that.
It's called fighting. However. Not dodging.
However, when you – I want to try to explain this right. Okay, so because we talked about Floyd Mayweather and his technique. I like both of it. I like guys getting knocked out. I think it's awesome. But when somebody's incredible at technique and will just score the shit out of you the entire time knowing there's nothing you can do about it, I like watching that too. Just a total domination. Now, if there was a guy for Floyd Mayweather to fight and he kept pushing it off and whatever happened, and then that guy got tired of trying to fight Floyd, so he fought somebody else and then lost, and Floyd just sits there like, haha, you're not good enough to even fight me. That's not great boxing, but does it make him good at the sport? Knowing that in the ring, he can get points, punch somebody, win the fight with the points, and also make him good at the sport, knowing I can wait a little while to fight. I can kind of pick what I do next strategically. It's a pussy thing to do. It's not a good boxer move, but it is a good sport move.
It's, you know what it is? It's boxing's version of the Yankees or boxing's version of the Cowboys, right? So something that annoys everybody and frustrates people where it's like, he knows really well and he knows how to make money. He knows how to build his brand and he knows how to go forward. Both the Yankees and the Cowboys are very good at that. He also, as he had the money, he was able to make things kind of, and I'm not saying he cheated. That's not my point, but he could swing things his way, get favorable opponents, on the one hand, I hate it because I want guys to just go in and beat the hell out of each other. That's what I want. But It's hard for me to knock him. I mean, he still did have to go in there and win. Some guy could have come in and wailed on him and knocked him out, but it never happened.
This is what I want to know. Chris.
Yeah.
I tell you, I will give you $50 million to beat somebody up.
Yeah.
Is there any way, under any circumstance, even if you are like, fuck, I might lose this fight, if someone says, here's $50 million, try to beat, if you beat
this
guy. Oh,
no, I'll fight it. I would go for it.
I would fight fucking Tyson in his hay for $50 million, knowing I'm probably going to end up in the hospital, but...
I'd also
be like... Is this your first fight, or is it your 44th?
That's the thing. For me, the heart of a fighter, what you want in a box, and again, you're right about the Cowboys... and the Yankees say,
I'm just trying to draw an idea. Yeah.
People question the heart. So if today Floyd Mayweather gets here's $50 million to beat up Conor McGregor, and he goes, no, that's not going to work for me. You're like,
I can't read that contract.
Why'd you cough a little bit there? Why'd you choke on yourself a little bit there for a second? Are you afraid of Conor McGregor? Is that the reason you won't get $50 million to at least attempt to fight him? It's like, are you that afraid of that dude? Because I know I can't beat Conor McGregor, but if you said, here's $50 million, go try.
This is the thing, just to add to your point, is that would be, I would make about like $1 billion an hour would be my pay because I'd get my face punched in 30 seconds. I don't care. I just got $50 million. I'll build my face back up and keep the change.
Well, even because that's only if you win is you get the full – well, and it's not even the full 50. But
right. Well, taxes and whatever. Who else you pay? But
even if you don't win, there's still a side purse, probably $2.5 million. Is that what Connor said? I don't remember. But even if it's you get $100,000 if you get knocked out in 10 seconds. That's 10 seconds of my life and a heart headache for a week. You know what I mean?
The heart thing that you talked about, that's with all sports, most sports. Or I should say all sports, most players. Because you start out with the heart of, I want to play. I'll play for nothing. I get to do this for my life, dude. Pay me nothing.
Well, you are sort of fighting for your life. You have no money. Yeah. You have nothing.
But when you're towards the end and you've made all this money, then you look at it. You look at it as a business. You've seen the business in front of you. It's not just a game. It's you having to go to some mattress store on a Saturday and spend 2 hours there when you don't want to and sign autographs and take pictures with people because the team made you do it. You don't think about that stuff. That goes into part of your pay.
It's very similar to what we were talking about earlier when we very first started the episode with the comedy game and how there is that positioning, that ranking, and that who's who. But Chris Rock comes out with a special and gets paid a ton of money, and Jerry Seinfeld says, I can do the same thing, if not better. If Conor McGregor is willing to do a fight and then Floyd runs away from that, well, then you're Carlos Mencia not willing to do a special because you don't have your own jokes. To me.
Yeah.
It's the heart.
I mean, that makes sense. By the way, do we all agree that Conor McGregor stands no chance?
In a like a regulated boxing match? He doesn't.
He stands no chance.
And it's not going to be from a lack of heart, but a lack of technique and ability.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, he'll fight hard, but Mayweather's a master.
I maybe wrongfully, but I wrongfully disagree. I feel like from what I've seen of Conor McGregor, he is a dude that is going to back Floyd up to the point where at some point he's not going to be able to run around that ring.
Are they the same? They're not the same size.
Here's
Floyd's. I don't know. Really
similar
short.
Sizes.
Well, here's something he's else.
Short though.
That I just thought of. This just popped into my head while we were sitting here. At what point though? Now this is a little bit of a different angle. But at what point though does it become pointless for Floyd Mayweather to take this fight?
Now,
how much money he's getting paid, here's what's going to happen: the entire world is going to be rooting against him. And Conor McGregor has nothing to lose, so he'd just bum rush him and be swinging like a madman.
And
there's
nothing for him to gain because, like we talked about, he does have enough money to lay back on. But it is a question of heart. Yeah, I think with like Seinfeld has all the money in the world. He doesn't have to do a podcast where comics and him go get coffee.
Yeah,
but he wants to because it's still in his blood. I don't think. Like what we talked about, Floyd feels like he has to fight or wants to fight. I'd be like,
they're the same size almost.
Yeah, and Floyd's real good at just like sitting around. You know?
Now, here's the deal. I saw this earlier today. I think it's a great point. Is the Irish boxing champion called out Conor McGregor and said, before you fight him, you better fight me.
Nice. Yes.
Because
he's been waiting his chance.
Well, because basically you think you're the king of Ireland or whatever with your fighting, dude. Like, if you want to fight him, why don't you fight me?
And you know what, dude? That's the $25 million fight for each.
That
is the... Let's go, boyo.
Dude.
Wouldn't that be insanely awesome?
No, I'm telling you, that'll be the... What I'm saying is, when I saw that, I thought to myself, the guy who just called him out is the guy who should fight Floyd Mayweather.
You know, boxing needs this more than the UFC needs this.
Yeah, boxing.
Boxing can put their guy out, knock a dude around the UFC and show
both
up here.
Sports gain a lot of credibility, a lot of visibility. It's a win-win from a business standpoint. But you have to make sure, seriously, and I mean this not as an insult to either guy, but you have to make sure if it's a boxing match that Conor McGregor doesn't get his skull punched in or something, you know, unprepared. You have to prepare for that. Yeah. But I like the heart, as we talked about, of the guy being like, if you want to fight somebody, why don't you fight me?
The UFC, although it doesn't need this as much as boxing because boxing is dead.
It's dying. It's kicking.
It's.
I follow boxing and it's kicking, dude. There's some cool underground fights and stuff. No, it's what you got to do is watch. You got to watch like not at all high. If they're hyping the boxing a lot.
Backyard boxing.
No, if they're hyping the boxing a ton to me, I don't really get excited about it. But it's the ones that like you pay $4.99 for like a live stream or whatever. Those are such good fights.
But the UFC, even though they are on the rise, they have said themselves, they need more mainstream storylines to cross over to a general public. That's why the Ronda thing got pushed so hard, the Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
It's because it was a mainstream storyline because she was in movies. She had a visibility and a name people knew. So Floyd, that's the reason $50 million is being offered up by Dana White, because Floyd is a household name.
First of all, Dana White needs to probably not be involved. Let boxing handle it from the money side, because then the purse will be $400 million, and it'll be at the new arena.
Boxing's going out of business. It may be that they still have purses that are $100 million.
Dude, the thing is, and then that's this frustrating thing, and then it's as the purse gets bigger, it seems like the fight gets smaller.
And UFC, it's not as fun. Is making hand over fist money by paying these guys nothing.
Right.
Raking in all the cash.
Which is like also a problem on the other end of the spectrum.
Dude, Gall got paid $30,000 for his fight, right?
Yeah.
But then he had to taxes, pay his management, like his
trainers.
Yeah,
what did he walk with? $10,000?
Yeah, he walked with
a ham
12.
Sandwich.
$12,000 trained for those months.
Let me just real quick. You said ham sandwich, and I've been talking about ham sandwiches in different topics with different people all day today. I don't know what's going on. Like we were talking about what's the best kind of sandwich at work, and somebody was like ham sandwich, and then another guy brought up Mama Cass.
What's that?
The mamas and the papas, and she died choking on a ham sandwich.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, actually, I think what happened was she choked on her own vomit. But I think right before that, she was eating a ham sandwich.
I heard the same story with the chicken bone. So I think I'm hoping Mama Cass died eating food.
And if you've seen a picture, this guy looked up a picture of her because I was like, I've seen her. And I think she was like a little bit larger of a woman, right? And I looked at him like, that sucks, dude, because it probably wasn't food at all. It was probably drugs. Mm-hmm. And then like back in that era, they were like, she choked on a ham sandwich. And everybody was like, and everybody's like, yeah,
she's
probably
chubby.
Yeah, probably. You know, I'm like, what a crappy
thing. He probably wasn't even nice like that. He was like, bitch probably choking on a ham sandwich.
Yeah. She wasn't Gilbert Grape's mom. Like she was some, but that's, she would be at Lane Bryant today. Like she's not like,
that's what I'm saying. I feel bad because you look at her and you're like, well, what the hell? She's not like this morbidly like Jabba the Hutt, but they were literally like, she died of a ham sandwich, and the entire country went like, oh yeah, totally. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, because she's fat.
Anyway,
I get it.
Yeah. Are there any specials at that deli?
Yeah, right?
Oh my God.
Sorry, but ham sandwiches seem to be a theme today, so.
I want to change gears again. Okay. Throw a little shifty poo to the Mayweather-McGregor and hit up some NBA hoop talk. And I want to go straight for your team, the Chicago Bulls, Chris Santini.
Future champions, dude. Don't worry about it.
Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
What is going on with your point guard? Well, I shouldn't call him that anymore. Rajon Rondo. That was a little Mike Enders, wasn't it?
That was extra Mike Enders.
It's the kid. That was not him at all.
No. You had a good one there by accident, but... Yeah. Didn't work out so much. Trying to do it again. Anyway.
I have a good Italian. I've been working on this Italian, dude. Check this out.
Go ahead, dude. Throw me the Italian.
All right. Well, first of all, you know Sloppy Joe's?
Like the sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
All right, cool.
I eat them.
Hello. My name is Giovanni. I own a Giovanni's down the street where we make a special Sloppy Giuseppe's.
Nailed it, dude.
Sloppy Giuseppe's instead of Sloppy Joe's?
I closed my eyes, and I was transported directly to Italy, dude.
I knew it, man.
Actually, I was transported to the loading screen of Super Mario 64.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. I sound like a Super Mario. But my name is a Giovanni. Every time I end the sentence, it sounds the same. It's the same up, like, a Giovanni.
Wait, are you really practicing? Is this not the first time you've ever done that?
I
want to
put this on my resume.
What?
It's almost there.
Our specialty at the Giovanni's is Sloppy Giuseppe's.
Yep.
It's a me, a Kevin.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Maybe I just need to be Kevin. I don't need Giovanni as my name.
Kevin with the heavy Italian accent.
Yeah, straight off the boat.
That traditional Italian name.
My name is a Jersey Shore, Giovanni, Kevin. Hey. Do I sound like I'm right off the boat?
Oh my God, dude, so much.
I figured.
Sound like you're off a boat.
So your boy Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey. What about him?
It's a perfect nickname. Oh, tweet that out. Get blocked by Rajan.
Dude, that guy. What a mess.
He is a mess. I'm such a big fan of his playing.
Yeah, me too.
I love it. I love a point guard that just racks assists.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if he could shoot a little better, that'd be great. But he can't.
I don't
do
even
that.
Care.
I don't either.
Because he's got Jimmy buckets on the team.
It's true. Voted all-star starter.
Dwayne Wade's also won the fan vote.
Shut up.
He did, dude.
All right.
Because of his numbers, probably.
He's a starter?
No, he will not start, okay. But he won the fan vote.
Yo, did you see Stephen Curry and James Harden are starters, which means Russell Westbrook isn't?
Burn.
Westbrook's not starting. How is he not starting?
That's the way the stupid NBA, I love the NBA for all it is, but I hate their all-star voting process.
It's trash.
It is. Don't let the fans vote anymore.
Dude.
Yao Ming shouldn't still be starting all-star games. He retired 8 years ago.
You're telling me Westbrook doesn't get to start the all-star game?
He has 21 triple-doubles.
Yeah, even though he's like
whatever.
Arguably having the best numbers of anyone ever.
I'm cool with Harden starting.
That's fine.
Steph Curry's incredible, and all right. Let me ask you this.
He's not starting over. No.
Who's the better player? Curry, that's won two MVPs, or Westbrook? Although it is this year, just this year. But
Westbrook.
I'm with you.
And all time,
I'm not going to disagree. I'm with
you. Westbrook.
But
Westbrook has no championships. So
no, and he wasn't this good at UCLA. If he was, we'd have won championship there. Two of them. He was on the year.
So maybe he's just about his fashion choices and his press conferences.
A horrible dresser. Him or Durant?
He's an all-star loser at dressing.
Warriors played the Thunder this week, and they kicked their ass. Warriors won by a lot. But Westbrook had a deep triple-double, which I like the ones where it's not like, I had 20 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
I like the, I had 27 points, 14 rebounds, and 13 assists. It's like the triple-double. I had that in the second quarter.
Yeah.
I love those, and Westbrook gets a ton of them. Who would you rather have on your team, Westbrook or Durant?
Or Rajon Rondo.
I do have him on my team right now, and he keeps getting timeouts.
Dude, he's benched. He got benched on his bobblehead night.
Dude, he got benched and then had like a meeting with the owners and was like, I didn't like how that meeting went. And I'm like, well, you know, sounds like you're the problem.
So now I'm going to be a coach.
Yeah. He says he's no doubt in his mind, 100%. I'm going to be a head coach.
Who is he going to coach?
Himself. He probably signs up for therapy and therapies himself. He lays on the couch, says what he thinks is wrong, and then he runs over to the chair and just says something back like, no, you're amazing. You're
what is he
as good as you think you are.
What is he going to do? How can he possibly coach?
Honestly, he may be a good coach because he can run an offense, and he knows how to play defense.
Here's the thing, dude.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I understand you're playing devil's
rolling
advocate.
Rolling eyes in here's the my, room as I say that. I feel it, all right?
I just rolled my eyes so hard I went
your
blind
rolling
for a
eyes
second,
hurt.
Dude. Here's the thing. Here's what I don't understand. Rondo's going to be like, hey, run this, and then they're going to do something different, or they're not going to listen to him, or maybe they'll give him the same attitude he gave every coach he ever had.
Which would be great.
And then what is he going to do? He cannot pout and go hide in the locker room anymore. He's the coach.
Oh, dude. I want Rajon Rondo to be the head coach next season for an expansion team. All right? The
Las Vegas Golden Knights in the NHL.
Perfect. Or the Las Vegas Raiders that they got today. Not necessarily, but officially.
Did you see that kid who made the logo? Dude, it was the funniest thing. He took the new LA Chargers logo and just flipped the A upside down so that it's a V. And I was like, please just use that. I think it'd be the funniest thing to just copy them.
That's so funny. I forgot what I was saying. It was so damn funny.
Something about Rondo.
Okay, next year. He'll be the head coach of the Las Vegas Golden Knight basketball team.
Yeah.
And the player that they select is Grayson Allen from Duke University.
Nah,
and he
dude.
Has to coach that piece
dude,
of shit.
Dude, how about, did you see the video where he tried to take somebody down again? The guy slapped him?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a fucking asshole.
Here's what I said. I said to myself, he slapped that kid just to see if the referees were checking in. And if they weren't, they obviously were because nothing else happened. If they had been like, I don't know, I didn't see anything, he would have killed them probably in the next three possessions.
Dude.
He would have just choke slammed him into the paint.
You know, I like to say a lot, Grayson Allen, or not Grayson Allen, but for people in general, I like to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't hate them.
Right.
There's probably something know behind the scenes that makes them act this way. No, Grayson Allen's just a douchebag that needs to get the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
And maybe then, he'll be like, oh, I should probably act a little different.
I don't know, man. I think it's ingrained.
I think it is, too. And I think his parents are just beating him. After the game, he walks off. The mom holds him like a baby. His dad puts a pacifier in with his binky.
I can't
believe. And they say, good game, son.
I can't believe I'm blanking on the dude's name. He played for the U.S. Olympic team. He was a college basketball player. Everyone hated him.
Christian Laettner.
Thank you. Golly. I was on Chelsea lately. Anyway. But, like, he's a guy that got a ton of hate. And deserved a little of it, maybe, because of his kind of edgy attitude. But where's everybody doing that for Grayson Allen? I want the 30 for 30. I hate Grayson Allen. And all it is interviews with people saying, absolutely, I hate that guy.
I watched his last game. Who did they play? Damn it. I don't remember who they played. It doesn't matter. Every time he touched the ball, they booed. Every single time he touched it. That's what I'm saying. Just booed. I mean, it's a stupid thing in sports, but still, as a person, you're like, I don't want to get booed. Man. As comics, we're like, Do you think he deserved it? The whole crowd is booing.
Do you think he deserved it?
Yeah, he's a piece Laettner? Of shit. Oh, Laettner. No, I'm talking about Grayson.
Oh, Allen. I was like, all right. You went to Laettner's last game, dude?
No.
That must have been a great experience, but no. Okay, now I see
Grayson
where we're at.
Allen. I saw it. I didn't
hashtag go. Worst sports analyst in history. Still own the
Did
title.
Did Christian Laettner deserve it?
I don't think. After watching the 30 for 30, which could have been biased, I don't know, but I was like, I feel like he got a lot of hate for no reason.
30 for 30s are the best movies, documentaries ever.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't just make 90 for 90s and put them in theaters.
They totally should. That's not why they call it 30 for 30.
I have no idea why they call it 30 for 30.
30 films by 30 directors.
Well, somebody should have
told. But it's way over that by now. Yeah, so 90 by 90 makes total sense.
30 stories in 30 minutes.
I'm just really glad that I never thought to clarify why they were called 30 for 30.
They used to say it in the it's just, you know.
They used to say it?
Yeah, they would when the first came out, they were like 30 for 30. It's 30 stories by 30 directors.
So why okay. Well, anyway, ESPN I don't know why it would be 30 for 30 then. Wouldn't it be 30 by 30?
It should be.
30x 30.
But you're right by now. It should be 90 by 90 because there's way more than 30.
ESPN can't do anything right.
Those 30 for 30 documentaries are 30 of the best sports movies there are, yeah. Right, though?
Every single one of them is good.
You will literally be like, oh, I'm not even interested in that. That's dumb.
Like, and who cares about the XFL?
Yeah, and then a minute in, you're like, I can't not watch this. This is incredible. And it is the whole way through. You end it, and you're like, that's the best 30 for 30 dude. I've ever seen. And then you watch another one, you're like, this is now the best 30 for 30 I've ever seen.
So you guys, you watch them all or whatever? Okay, so did you see the Soul Man one about the shoe guy? Dude, I went to the store like 2 days later and bought a pair of Jordans. That's how much I loved that episode.
Talking about buyer's remorse immediately. I'm a super fan.
Hold on, before someone robs me for them, they weren't good ones. I just got some Jumpman looking thing, and they were like $80 on clearance. You know what I mean? But I was
on
like
clearance.
Yeah, but
$80 on fucking clearance.
But I went into Foot Locker or whatever, and I was like, let's be honest though, this could get me signed. The power of the brand is huge. I found that out. But I didn't, you know, usually you're supposed to get your first pair at like 12, not 28.
One other NBA story that I want to talk about that Joe actually brought this up to me too. And I was like, yeah, let's talk about it, man. White Men Can't Jump, a great sports movie. That I still watch to this day.
It's a good movie. Very enjoyable.
Blake Griffin of the Los Angeles Clippers and his production team are in part of making a remake of White Man Can't Jump.
Oh, my God.
First of all, nobody can be original in Hollywood anymore. It's all remakes and sequels and prequels.
But who sits around and says, you know that movie with Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes, two amazingly popular people that was iconic? I think me as a basketball player with no movie experience might be able to do a better job.
There's a lot of people involved in it. It's not just him.
I think it's just Blake Griffin.
Although one of the other people involved is Ryan Khalil, the lineman for the Panthers. It's not all, but he is another guy that's involved in it.
So, two athletes.
Who's the guy that's writing it? It's that's them the main, two. No, that's the main guy that's
Khalil and Griffin.
There's not a writer attached just yet.
There, ooh. Yes. All right.
It's got to be. Well, hey guys,
you got a writer for it?
I'm yeah. open.
I'm not seeing one right here.
I got it, but because that's why I brought it up. I read it.
Are you serious, dude? What's the angle here? What's the reason for the reboot?
I'm not sure. I think it's just because it's a beloved movie. It's a property that can be redone. And Blake Griffin and his team have been doing a few of these remakes and kind of retreads.
I'm just...
But just because... The question I have is, a lot of these remakes and reboots that they've been talking about are vehicles for Blake Griffin, like ways to get him exposed in Hollywood. But isn't...
Is he suffering from a lack of exposure right now, being a star NBA player? Or what's the deal?
But isn't Blake Griffin too, and I hope this doesn't come off racist, but too white to play Woody Harrelson and too black to play Woody Harrelson and too white to play Wesley Snipes? That would be the question I would have is like, if the movie's called White Men Can't Jump and it's about the racial divide, the Christian Leitners versus the Ron Artest or whatever. What
that's
is
the I only want to see the movie if they cast Christian Leitner and Ron Artest. That's it. That's the only way I'll watch it.
The other person I was trying to think of is Kenya Barris, who's the creator of Black-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's the main guy.
He's involved.
He's going to write the script for it.
Right on. Well, then that could be okay, then. I mean, I don't understand the reasoning behind it. It seems pointless.
What are some...
Like, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
Oh, right.
Like Jurassic Park 101. Just because you can make dinosaurs doesn't mean you should make dinosaurs.
My son loves Jurassic World.
Who doesn't? Jurassic World?
Yeah.
I got no problem with Jurassic World. I'm saying in the movie when that guy's like, I made dinosaurs, and literally every person, even people in the audience in 1993 or whatever, were like, that's a bad idea. You shouldn't make any dinosaurs. What were you thinking, dude? He's like, no, trust me, it'll be cool. Electric Gate goes, I mean, you guys have seen the movie. Anyway, I'm just saying.
Spoiler alert, Jurassic World.
Spoiler alert if you're 18 years or whatever behind movies, but the fence doesn't hold.
So.
That's the plot of that movie.
Blake Griffin, I doubt he's going to play a role.
Who
would play it?
I'm hoping
Justin Bieber and Soldier Boy?
Well, no. I'm hoping it's just Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes again.
Like the... It would be...
I hope
not
it's
not even
the...
like they're the championship game. Like it's literally a remake of the movie.
Shot for shot remake.
But neither one can jump. Because they're both old as
old fun. Men can't jump.
Yes, the remake.
Yes.
Oh my God. If somebody did that movie, I would watch that.
I'll be first.
Reshoot it exactly the same way with all the same people, word for word.
I don't know.
The scene with Woody Harrelson trying to dunk and he gets rim.
And he falls and really hurts himself.
They had to shut down shooting for 3 weeks as he recovered from a torn back muscle.
Oh. I don't understand. I think there's a real need and a want to redo classic movies and reboot them or recast them and do these reshoots or whatever. But I think sports movies in particular, they're so about the time. That's one thing you don't have to remake. Like, there's really classic sports movies that if you went back and tried to do again, it's like, well, you're trying to make it look like it's from the 70s. But it was already from the 70s.
Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
They remade that. Yeah. It's like, does anybody even watch that? I showed my son the original Bad News Bears. I've never shown him the newer one.
The newer one didn't make any sense.
And he loves it. Bad News Bears 1 and the second one he actually liked for a little while.
It's like the Mighty Ducks, dude. Like,
yes. Great movie.
I'm just waiting for somebody to circle that.
But again, they when you do, it's like, oh, we're going to try to recapture this 90s nostalgia. That
with a yeah, you already have a hockey team that's horseshit and stupid. So why would you even try to?
It's Angels in the Outfield, Little Giants, Rookie of the Year, Little Big League, all those movies. Try to redo them again watch them fail.
My son loves those movies, and if they're remade, it's whatever. He watches the originals all the time. They're good enough.
The charm will not be there.
You need the new ones. Yeah, right. Yeah. The original. Yeah.
Like with Jurassic World, you're like, well, we can do dinosaurs better today. But you're not going to do the Sandlot better. You don't need like better CG.
But let me play
Sandlot too.
Let me argue with some things. Okay, when I sat down to watch Jurassic World, I was like, "Oh, hey guys. This park probably not going to work out." I didn't even feel bad for people getting killed. I'm like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
They literally, in the shared universe, the park fell apart. The island where they made the dinosaurs fell apart. And then that weird island that no one knew about with the Spinosaurus and the phone and the poop. That one didn't work either. Maybe, it's never going to work.
Maybe if the public would have been fooled three times, but they kept that third one undercover.
What I'm saying is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I don't feel bad for anyone getting eaten in Jurassic Park anymore.
They should have been out as soon as like a T-Rex made it to San Francisco and started walking around the city. They should have been like, no, this park's a bad idea for everywhere. We don't want the park.
Here's the other thing I don't understand. I'm sorry to get on this, but it upsets me to my core. When you have a dinosaur and they're like, I don't know, man, dinosaur's kind of weird. He's just broke out. Why are they not? Why do they send like, hey, everyone go down there with your pistol and see if you can't slow it down. Right? Send a helicopter in and shoot like 9 missiles and eviscerate it. Turn it into pulp.
It's a fucking dinosaur.
And then when people are like, well, that would hurt the science. It's like, you made one, you can make another one. Also, we've seen how this plays out. So just blow it up. Blow it up. Immediately. If the thing farted at me, I'd blow it up.
Is there going to be Jurassic World 2?
There is a Jurassic World 2.
Are you for real?
Yes. It's also like Planet of the Apes. This is going to be wrong to say because
no, don't even go there. I'll let you shit on Jurassic Park even though I love Jurassic Park.
Dude, I don't even
The Jurassic World movies right now are not setting up for greatness. The war for the Planet of the Apes
is going to be the best movie.
Okay.
I'm with you.
I didn't think you were going there.
No, I love them, but here's my biggest beef.
I've never seen one of them.
Okay. You should.
You haven't even seen the new ones?
I've never seen any of
them. The new trilogy is
really amazing.
I haven't seen the third.
There's an old trilogy?
There's an old, like, 5 movies.
There's 5?
And then Tim Burton made one in the 90s.
Skip that one. But here's the deal.
There's 5?
There's a lot of them.
There's like 15.
And they're really good.
There's not.
No, they're cool.
But so there's Mark Wahlberg. He was in one, right?
He was in one that we don't acknowledge.
Yeah, that's
the one I'm not supposed to watch.
That is the one that shall not be known.
And it's not going to ruin the James Franco one. Is that the second one?
No, the James Franco one's so good.
That's the second one.
But I have one problem with the James Franco one. Let me just throw this out there, okay? So that one guy who's been in like a lot of comedy stuff, what's his name? Tyler Labine or whatever?
Oh. TJ Miller.
No. You know the part in the movie where, spoiler alert, if you don't go to the movies, I guess, he goes...
From 2005 or whatever. Yeah.
He literally like...
Hey, wait, are we talking about Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, we are.
You ruined the movie.
He literally just told us he doesn't go to the movie. Oh, anyway.
Tell it.
So there's this part where he's like, I euthanized all the other ones. You just got to euthanize this one baby. You know what I mean? And then James Franco's like, I can't do it. His fault. All of this is his fault.
Yeah.
If he just goes and then just bites the bullet and says, God, I just killed a kid and lives with that for the rest of his life.
I love that.
One guy is struggling, not all of us dead.
James Franco is so weak that he brought down the entire human race. I like that.
But it just
bothers me.
That's
one of the things I like.
I'm just like,
it's a mistake.
But is
you're
he
right.
weak? Is he weak though, or is it like God?
Is it
he
weak?
Tried.
Or is it, yeah, you're he, right. When you approach it like he brought down everything, he's weak.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you approach it like he saved that monkey, he is strong.
No, like I agree with what he did though. I will admit that. I'm like, I couldn't have killed a baby. it couldn't happen.
Right. He's our pet.
So I would have tried.
But it's a baby gorilla.
No,
I
dude.
Never mind. I don't know chimpanzee. What I'm talking
no,
about.
No, I couldn't
also,
do it.
Also, I just felt like an asshole saying it's a baby anything and trying to make reason with killing it.
No, it's an ape. But
yeah, it is an ape.
I couldn't do it.
You're right.
I know I couldn't do that. So I would have done the same thing James Franco did.
And you would have brought down the human race.
And I guess that's the deal.
But
actually, I don't know that. I know I'm a shitty person, and I'd have been like, blow it up.
The thing that I really love is it's not, and this is so dumb, and I didn't see this coming until like halfway through the second one.
Oh.
It's not James Franco's story.
No, it's not.
If you go back and watch that first one, it is Caesar's
story.
It's
always been.
And this last one is like...
I'm crying for sure.
Yeah, it's well. You're gonna cry over.
No, I'm crying for sure.
Computer generated.
I don't care.
I know. Me too.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie to you. I wept the other day at a movie.
Dude, movie? I promise.
Second time I've watched it.
What movie?
Wept like hardest I've cried in a long time.
What movie?
Don't laugh at me.
I'm not.
Are you gonna laugh at me?
I don't laugh at people, dude.
That's true.
Here's what I'll tell you: I will list movies I've cried at just to make you feel better.
This isn't like a tear. Like Tombstone, I was like
Land Before Time.
No. Go ahead.
We Bought a Zoo.
Oh,
I haven't seen that movie.
I want to laugh at you real bad. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I told you. No, here's the deal. I told you, dude. But I did because, God damn it! Ever since I had a child, right? It's changed my view on everything,
dude.
Where I would look at like kid stuff and not be bothered, but now anything that involves children and somebody having kids, dude, I swear, when that happens to you, then talk to me about not crying at the end of that movie.
Dude, I came out of the movie Storks and immediately told my wife we're going to have a baby.
Yeah, and that's weird. I watched that movie. I was like, I don't feel
that movie's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Not saying it wasn't funny.
It was a good movie that makes you want to have children.
Like, oh, let me have a lot of kids because they're delivered by storks. This kid probably fucking believes in Santa Claus and the goddamn leprechaun.
It was about the forming of a family and the bonding that happens. Even though, like, I always thought having a baby would be tough.
Watch We Bought a Zoo. They do that.
I always thought it would be tough, but that looked fun. I watched We Bought a Zoo. It made it look hard to run a zoo.
It was pretty difficult. It seemed really hard.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Right,
but I'm not making fun of you for I cry at movies all the time.
Ooh, what's one you've cried the hardest at?
Dude, movies I've cried the hardest at? That's going to be hard. Okay, let's think. And I'm willing to take heat for this.
The Exorcist?
No, I didn't cry at The
Exorcist. I'm just trying to go off your personality.
I cried real hard. Dude, sometimes when I watch Good Will Hunting, I'll tear up. But that's not a full-blown cry. That's just like a damn, that was a good thing.
Hostile?
No. When I was a kid, I used to sob at Bambi. Younger, because I didn't like the dad. Here's the thing. This is a real sore subject in my family because Bambi's mom got shot, and I was like, well, shit happens. You know what I mean? Mm. But at the end of the movie, I was like, well, where's the dad? And then I started sobbing. So my mom's real bitter about Bambi. But I definitely cried at Saving Private Ryan.
Okay,
definitely a lot cried at that movie.
Oh, my God. Fun. There's a scene. I was raised by a single mother.
Yeah.
And that scene where... they're like hiding out in the church, and one of the guys talks about how his mom would come home late from work, and he would pretend to be asleep, and he's like, I wish I didn't pretend to be asleep in those moments. Dude, almost saying it, I want to break down.
That's like, what I'm saying, dude.
That movie is man cry all the way through.
And it's so fake. Movies are so fake, and we cry at them.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of some other movies. Hold up. I cried at Hardball a lot. And I don't care.
I won't. Okay, I've watched
and that I don't
movie
care.
8 times to a certain point, and then I turn it off.
No, I don't care if anybody makes fun of me. I cried real. John
it's
Q.
Sad as fuck.
Bro, John Q. You know that part where he's like yelling at the guy, and he's like, I'm going to bury my son is going to bury me. I'm not going to bury my son. You know, in John Q, I lose it every time. When he's like, he says, I'm not going to bury my son. My son is going to bury me. I cry. I don't care.
Dude, it's a good sports movie.
One that gets everybody else.
I didn't know we had to talk about sports.
I'm just saying.
I get weepy at all kinds of shit. Like, I cry almost every year watching Scrooged, which is a really funny movie.
Yeah, Jewish. I don't give a fuck
but
about that movie.
I know, but at the end, Bill Murray has this really impassioned speech where he's like, don't be a dick to people, basically. And he like just starts to like be nice to people around. And he's like listing off stuff you should do. And during the speech, he just like starts to break down himself, and it's such a real moment from him that every time I see it, I'm like, oh fuck, here it comes. Yeah. I'm back 10 years old watching Land Before Time. I got a single mom, and his mom died. Oh shit, like happens every time. But Brian's Song is a sports movie.
Oh, that's a tough
if
one.
You're a man, you
I usually
like,
cry at
up,
the end of every sports movie. Rudy makes me cry still.
Dude, but those are like happy cries almost.
I was very happy at We Bought a Zoo. I wasn't like.
I've never seen it, so I don't know. I thought like somebody died or something at the end.
No, in the beginning.
Oh my god.
It's like up. They get you in the first scene and they're like, I hope you're ready for all this stupid shit we throw at you.
Stupid. God damn.
Movies I never cried at.
Hey,
Jeff, up.
Pull up a list.
Stupid up.
Oh, yeah. Pull up a list of the top 10 sports movies. Let's do this and then we'll wrap.
Hold on real quick because I made my own list earlier.
Awesome.
You know what?
Oh, shit. Wait. Dead Poets Society.
Oof.
I'll be done every time. Even on TV.
It's
when
a great movie.
No, I cry, dude. I cry a lot. Running tears at Dead Poets Society.
So, I made a list of, I was going to do my top 10 favorite sports movies. Right, didn't turn out to be that. It's David Letterman. It's so fucking long. It's like, whoa, crazy long. And it's got stupid shit on there. Like, did you ever see the movie Brink?
Nope.
Dude, this is the rollerblading movie?
Rollerblading movie on Disney Channel. Somehow that made
my
list of 50, along with like...
You made 50?
I don't know. It's long. It's got like everything. Like,
all right, give us some counting down from 50, but shoot it. Not, you don't have to do all of them.
Basketball.
Oh.
What number is that?
Absolutely.
Start it. Do you have them ranked?
No.
Just read the first like. Read the first like five.
Celtic Pride.
Luck of the Irish. Is that on there?
Karate Kid.
Oh, Karate Kid's money.
The Program.
Unbelievable.
Very
great.
Good.
Love that.
Very
movie.
Good.
Blue
oh
Chips.
My God. Let me tell you.
Blue
hold on.
Chips,
stop,
dude.
Stop at the Love program it. Real quick.
Okay. Also a great Action Bronson mixtape, Blue Chips.
The Program I saw when I was in elementary school or middle school maybe, but went into the theater during the day, and it was just me and one of my friends, and in the theater was a high school football team. And dude, that movie had so much action that when it was a hit or something, like – The football team would go crazy, so it made it like we were kind of there, like a hit would happen. They'd be like, oh! And my friend and I would be like, holy shit, this is so cool, dude! Oh!
Yeah, very. And Any Given Sunday had a very similar vibe.
I love Any Given Sunday, yes.
That like, you felt those hits.
Yeah.
I was
Blue Chips, by the way, very good.
I was real into this vibe for
Blue
a minute.
Chips 2, also very good.
Not as good.
They're mixtapes.
Is it? Oh. Okay. I thought that
shout
was
out
what
to
you.
I'm pretty sure they did make a Blue Chips too, though.
Artichoke dip.
I was real into it for a minute. There was like a hip hop basketball vibe going on with
Above
Hoop
the rim.
Dreams, Above the Rim.
Hoop Dreams was fucking awesome.
He got
Game. Hoop Dreams is unreal, dude.
Way too long, but it was great.
No, not
he got
too long.
Game is really good.
He got Game with Ray Allen. I remember like there was a very specific vibe there for a minute, and I was like,
really? Like Mike.
I was going to say.
My son loves that
I was
movie.
Real,
who doesn't? Who doesn't?
I was real into those movies while also being like real into The Big Green. Like stupid.
Yeah, but The Big Green is great.
Rebound.
Shaolin Soccer. You guys seen that?
No. Green Street
Hooligans. I tried to purposely incredible find something movie. Kind of obscure so maybe people will check it out.
Little Giants was it?
Little Giants is great.
Oh, the classics are all great.
Real quick though. I want to know your guys' worst sports movie.
Oof.
Just off the top, what are you thinking?
Sunset Park. I really liked that movie, but it wasn't very good.
I don't even know what that is.
It's Inner City. Leah Pearlman was the coach.
Worst
is that
sports
Leah
movies?
Pearlman?
I'll give you a few to rock around with.
I kind of just love sports movies, so it's hard for me to really hate one.
I know, but there's some bad ones. On top of like, there's the obvious like Mike 2s and Angels
like
and End Zones.
Air Bud.
Ooh, all the Air Buds.
Straight trash.
Although I'll tell you this, I've seen about 9 of them, and they're
competent. Competent.
Very unbelievable.
Competent screenplays.
Then
anyway,
there's movies like...
Do we have nothing to write here? Let's put in 45 minutes of scene work of the dog scoring goals.
Mm-hmm.
There's also movies like Ed, where...
Ed was not good,
Matt
but I...
LeBlanc and a chimpanzee
what about,
pitchers for a baseball team.
Oh, what about... The one Whoopi Goldberg was the coach of the Knicks. Do you have that on
Eddie.
There? Yes.
I have that on my
sister act.
Yeah.
I have Eddie on my good list, though.
Eddie, yeah, I can't totally remember, but if you said it was bad, I think I believe you.
What about for gender bending sports movies? Did you ever see Juwanna Man?
Juwanna Man.
We both went right there. Yes.
Juwanna Man. Very. You know what's funny in that pitch meeting? It was probably like, all right, we have a comedy, but it's going to be well ahead of its time. And you instantly hear that, you're like, go on. And you're like, we got Marlon. Was it Marlon Wayans? Or was he in? No, he was in Sixth Man.
Sixth Man is also my worst list.
That was pretty bad. It was Kadeem Hardison, right?
Yeah.
And Marlon Wayans. And was it Kadeem that died and then helped out?
And the whole time he's like, well, why am I jumping so high? Yeah.
Which is totally Angels in the Outfield, too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the ball's in a straight line. Not anymore. Let's hook it to right field into his glove.
No, Angels in the Outfield, too, was Angels in the End Zone.
Shut
they
up.
Went to football.
They made a second for real.
They went to football before basketball.
Oh, Angels in the End Zone. I've never seen that. I bet the diving for catches was pretty incredible.
It was. one that I saved for you. Have you ever seen the movie Full Court Miracle?
No.
It is a movie that's a Hanukkah movie that revolves around a basketball team that is made up of boys at a Jewish boys' school. And they're learning about the Maccabees and the miracle of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're getting ready for this big basketball game. And during the basketball game, they're in like overtime and all the power goes out.
Ooh.
But then the generator kicks on.
Oh.
But the generator only has enough power.
For 8 nights.
No, for like. Oh.
That would have been.
It was
an
like,
extremely stupid plot point.
No, it was like it only had enough for like 15 minutes.
It should have been 8 nights.
But
I mean, if it's a Jewish dude.
But the fuel in the generator lasted like almost another hour for like double and triple overtime for this big game. Full Court Miracle is one that made my worst list, but you should check out.
I'm sorry, was that on Nickelodeon Junior?
No, it was on Disney.
Miracle in Lane 2.
Legend of Bagger Vance, where they flash all the lights on the cars to fill the
hole. That's on my worst list.
I like them.
You don't like Miracle in Lane 2?
No, I like Miracle in Lane 2. I didn't have it on either list. But I had Legend of Bagger Vance on my worst list because I hate like the... I don't know. I just don't like
Was Will Smith a ghost?
No, it's like, I'm a mystical black man. Let me help you do whatever you need to.
Matt Damon's inner conscience.
It might as well be Shazam to me.
What's that? Oh, Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam.
Yeah, that's on the list of worst. But that's not a sports movie.
No, of course.
That's an athlete being a genie.
That's Kazam.
Oh, shit, you're right. Shazam's the app to play music.
Shazam is that movie that everyone... Have you guys heard of this? Where everybody thinks Sinbad was in it, but it doesn't exist?
You're right. I was thinking Kazam.
Kazam with Shaquille and I was like, if you guys are baiting me into this, I will freak out, dude. I hate that people are... I'm like, it doesn't exist. There's no IMDb page for the movie Shazam starring Sinbad.
Is Hoosiers the best sports movie of all time?
Well, it's close.
Yeah, it's up there. Joe, what do you have for your worst, other than the ones we named?
There's movies like Rebound with Martin Lawrence.
Right.
There's a lot of really bad ones.
But that's meant for kids.
To me,
that's
personally,
quality.
Some of the ones that hurt were, you know what? None of them. They're sports movies. I'm looking at them, and I'm like, I hate Radio. I hate Mr. Baseball. I hate The Replacements. I hate The Longest Yard, especially the new one.
I kind of like them.
Wait, you didn't like Mr. Which one? I thought you were 3000? Talking about Mr. 3000.
Oh, Mr. 3000 didn't make either list, but yeah.
I liked Mr. 3000.
But again,
I like Mr. Baseball.
Even though I spent the entire time being like, oh my God, you're not hitting anything with that stance.
It's not a great movie because of shit like that, but at the same time, it's still fun to watch. So it's like, I'm looking at my worst list.
2,999 hits. Say it like that.
Fucking, I would watch She's the Man right now.
Oh, me too.
There's that movie Leather.
Wait, you had She's
what about
the Man
She
on the
Devil?
Worst list?
Yeah.
No, She's the Man is cool.
It's Amanda Bynes playing
soccer.
Oh,
that's not what I'm thinking
of. Ladybugs, good movie.
You're thinking Juwanna Man, right?
Yeah, I am.
Did
you guys already talk about Juwanna?
We talked about when you were taking piss, yeah.
Oh.
But like sports,
what do you mean?
Sports movies in general are just
no one leaves
next
the studio.
Use the bottle, bro. That's the douche. Have you seen Sausage Party?
Dude, it's like my favorite movie the whole year.
Dude,
I'll be the douche.
Do you ever see Gleaming the Cube?
Yeah, bro. Did you work out? Because I'm the douche.
It's a shitty movie, but it's a great sports movie. Okay. And it's just like fun to watch. Eddie the Eagle, great movie, came out last year.
Oh, okay. So my fiance Brittany watched that on a flight, the international flight to Ireland. And she's like, this is a really good movie. You should watch it. And I was like, I'm going to watch this way better movie, Everest.
Ha!
Is it kind of a sports movie, like climbing?
Yeah, but you missed out. I watched all those movies.
I missed out big time. Everest sucks.
Everest sucks. And Eddie the Eagle was very surprised. It was a very good movie. But anyways, I digress. What about sports?
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Episode. Right before we go, though, Baseball Hall of Fame inductees were named.
I liked all of them.
Shout out, Jeff Bagwell. Tim Rock Raines, which
that was cool.
Good, man.
I was pumped he got in.
And then
Pudge.
Pudge. Yeah, Ivan Rodriguez. Pudge.
Also like a no-brainer to get in.
Of all of them, he's the no-brainer.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Bagwell, I get. Raines, I'm happy he got in. And
I was worried.
Those Expos,
the thing is, that was the thing. Is like when they were like, he got in. I'm like, oh, I thought he was already in. I mean, like, you know, in my head, I was like, I just assumed he'd be in. But I'm glad he's in now.
I mean, I agree with those.
I had no problem.
McGuire and Bonds got more votes than they did last year.
I just think I think the problem is with McGuire and Bonds. It's going to be the same thing with Sosa because, you know, I follow the Chicago stuff, so they're talking about Sosa. But they were just too one-dimensional. All it was hitting.
Not Bonds, though.
Kind of.
The steroids thing. It's like,
but that's what. But Bonds was never known for his all-around playing.
Yeah, he was.
Not anymore.
Well, not the last.
That's...
Yeah, once he went to San Francisco, that's when he started taking steroids.
All it was less hit home runs and break records.
You know what, dude? There's a big correlation to that. Because he was a really good all-around player.
Yeah, he was a phenomenal
all-around. He signed
a
massive deal with the Giants, leaving Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. where he was used to playing with Andy Van Slyke and Bobby Bonilla. And then he went to San Fran, got paid.
Big time.
And then got huge. And wasn't big in the field.
Mm-mm.
He was the kind of guy where a guy would hit a missile and he just wouldn't even run. He would just stand there. And then would hit the wall and they'd be like, "Ah, shit, I forgot to run."
I know.
But
he turned
mashing home
runs. He basically killed his Hall of Fame chances in San Francisco.
You hide your worst player in left field.
Right.
Unless we're going to have to break that down. We're going to have to break that down a little bit later on. Because that's a crazy correlation, man.
Yeah.
He turned into a one-dimensional player when he was an all-around guy.
Dude, we could talk about this for a long time, but Barry Bonds, to me, like, destroyed his career in San Francisco. Yeah.
We'll talk as we get closer.
Destroyed
to baseball
his legacy,
season.
Not his career, his legacy.
Oh, his legacy's ending with the Florida Marlins hitting coach.
I'm just saying.
Congrats on a great season.
But that's where he lost it.
Yeah. We'll talk about him more. I don't like
Sosa was way further down on the list.
I'm
almost making also Schilling, Ramirez. There's a
Manny?
Lot of people.
Yeah. It's Manny's first year on the ballot.
He only got 105 votes.
Yeah, but it's because, like, Manny will get in, but first ballot Hall of Famers, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes to, like...
Undeniable.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so when you're on your first year on the ballot, a lot of these voters are like, we're not voting. I mean, he'll get in,
Sosa,
but maybe 4 or 5
Sosa,
years
Sosa, I don't think he'll ever get in. I'm just saying his name mentioned.
Sosa had 38 votes.
No,
as
he's not getting
to
in.
Manny Ramirez's 105.
Does it say Bonds?
Yeah, Bonds had 238 votes, and you need 332 to get in.
That's pretty close.
So Trevor Hoffman was really close.
Yeah, Hoffman will get in next year. For sure.
Should.
Clemens was at 239.
That's another dude you don't think about.
That's a guy I thought would probably already be in.
Yeah, but the roids, it's all the steroids.
I know.
So is he going to be the first one that gets in, and then they're like, well, we let him in, so now, and then all the hitters will get in?
It feels like the thing with Roger Clemens is like he kind of sort of...
Stop fucking with your mic.
He kind of sort of owned up to it, kind of.
You can hear it, that's why.
So...
I like...
Yeah, they'll just absolve him and let him in.
I like,
because, you know, he kind of vaguely sort of said he did it. Enough.
Like Jorge Posada got 17 votes.
Dude, Jorge Posada should be in it.
You think?
I promise you. The Yankees don't
great
win those.
Switch hitting catcher.
The Yankees don't win those World Series without Jorge Posada. I promise you. I'll fight that every day for the rest of my life. Valid guy was point. My hero. He's one of my all-time favorite players. Totally.
Is that biased then?
No.
I don't think so.
Totally yeah. unsung hero of that team.
That's why the dude's getting 17 votes.
There's mm-hmm. me. Times.
Was he the bottom of them?
Not the dead bottom, but he was pretty close right. with 17 votes. Yeah.
But he got votes. He's got many years left to keep. Every year, I feel like they just keep going up. They're like, all right, I voted for him last year, and then they add a couple more voters, yeah. a couple more.
Well, plus you just have to think about the class you're getting inducted with.
For sure.
You know, if you're in there, like whoever was with Ken Griffey Jr., no one got votes except Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. You know what I mean? So some year they'll be just a weaker class, and then he'll sneak in. He deserves to be there, yeah. but I'm just saying how it'll work out.
I do like that the Baseball Hall of Fame makes it more difficult to get in than any other sport.
For sure.
Football's pretty difficult. Basketball, they combine college and NBA. So
which is weird.
Like, yeah. But baseball, I like that not everybody gets in.
For sure.
And if you do get in, it's years down the line where sometimes they're dead by the time they get in.
Yeah.
But it's the history and that pageantry of Major League Baseball being so old that to be included in all these guys, dude, that's cool, man.
It is.
I respect that one more than the others, and I respect them all. Obviously,
you can't not respect any of them, but that one is kind of like the ultimate.
Yeah. All right. Let's roll. Everybody, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We hope you had a good time listening. Again, hit us up on the Facebook page. Let us know if you want to go to that ASU-UCLA game in Tempe, Arizona, February 26th.
Absolutely. That is also, zero joking there. Like, hit us up, and we will meet you, and we'll all hang out.
Yeah. And if you are living in Arizona, Chris, you're doing a show next weekend?
No, it's January 28th.
Next weekend.
Is that next weekend?
Yeah.
Is this seriously next weekend?
Yeah.
I knew all about that. So not this coming weekend, January 28th, which is next weekend. I was just messing with everyone. Yeah, I'll be on a show. It's going to be awesome.
It's at Toso's.
It is at Toso's. It's a little bit of a hike, but it's totally worth it.
27th, I'll be at Rum Runners, not too far from Toso's.
I'm doing that next month.
You're doing that one next month?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
In February, yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's it for us. Otherwise, enjoy all your sports this weekend, man.
Thank you.